As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Rob Bros.
Grow up. Drink a Gatorade.
No.
Actually, you know what? Better yet, drink a Bubbly Burst.
I had a Gatorade, and now I have a Bubbly Burst.
Good. Shake it up a little bit. All right. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined remotely by the one and only Hungover Magoots. What's up, dude?
This is why we don't record on Sundays usually, but here we are. Seal's got to go to Italy, so
we got to feed our baby birds, bro.
Things happen. I didn't even set you up for that one, so that doesn't count. You can't do that.
I can do that.
I have to set you up for it. No,
I'm in a good mood. You're dying. I'm about to go to Italy for 10 days, so I'm elated. I got everything ready to go. We have time to kill. Like, it's just a lovely day. But yesterday was a disaster, dude. We lost partial power in my house.
How do you lose partial power?
I didn't know it was a thing either. But we're getting ready to leave the country for 10 days, and half of my house doesn't work. Called Pico. They're like, oh, we'll be out by the afternoon. They showed up this morning. So that was my day.
Not to mansplain here, but did you check the fuse box?
Do you know how many people asked me that? Yes, I checked. That was the first. That was the first thing I did. All right. But it was bizarre.
Wait, did you turn it off and turn it back on?
I did. I turned off my entire house. I turned off the main switchboard.
You unplugged it and plugged it back in? Good.
There's two lines that run to your house, and one operates like the heavy things. The other one doesn't. I didn't know that. One of them went out. So they came in this morning and fixed it. So they're going to replace them while we're gone and cut down some of the trees back there. So it's a win-win, really. But look, we got things to do today. You need to eat and go to sleep because you look great, at least. I will say
Thank
that
you.
Genuinely, usually hungover shooter looks a lot worse than you do now.
It's weird because it's one of those hangovers that I felt pretty good this morning. Went on a nice little walk, got some Gatorade, got some breakfast. And then over the last like 2 hours, it's gotten so much worse. I need to sleep so that it just goes away and I wake up and I'm better.
The slow burn hangover is the worst. But let's jump right into this episode of Summer House for Shooter's sake. We start out, we got Lindsay and Paige finishing up their conversation and talking about the red flags that they're going through right now. And is it worth it to continue on this path that they're going on? And Lindsay chalks it up as just like a growing pains kind of deal. Like, oh, we're getting married. Like, we'll get through this stuff because we communicate so well. But Paige sees it, I think, like we all see it. And it's like, at some point, you can just tap out of these things. You don't have to grind it out.
No, and I raised an eyebrow when Lindsay said we communicate really well. I'm like, no, you don't.
No.
You're relying on your couple's therapist to talk about things. Like, you don't communicate that well at all. And she was referring to them as miniature flags. You know, I don't want to call them big red flags, but they're miniature flags. It's like, okay, Lindsay, you're a walking big red flag.
Actually, she's literally wearing a checkered flag. So that's actually
kind
of ironic. I didn't even think about that.
That's how that works. But yeah, it's weird when you see, and we saw Paige last week in the beginning of this conversation thinking like, all right, I'm on team Lindsay. You could see her change her opinion by the end of it. Like it was already done.
I don't know if this is I think you see it to start to shift. You definitely see her opinion change, I think, when they find out about the flower boys. And we'll get to that later. But she sums it up with, look, you don't like each other. And we all see it. They're trying to force this because they want this fairy tale wedding, this fairy tale story of two friends that came back together. It is a beautiful Lifetime movie, as she points out, but it's not plausible. And everybody sees it but them. But we move on and we get the boys talking about everything as well. And this is a much more constructive conversation, I think, because it feels to me like Carl is doing his best to juggle wanting to get married and just get this thing done. But also at the same time, he seems to see the writing on the wall. And that's why he hears these guys out and everybody's trying to gently say like, hey man, you keep making concessions. You keep giving up parts of you. At some point, it's going to lead to resentment. And they're nice about it, but he's very, I don't know, he's open to it, which tells me like, you're clearly thinking about it already.
He was very agreeable. And I almost rather him just blindly stand up for Lindsay and just be like, no, you know, she's going through some stuff. You know, I got to be better as a husband, as a future husband. Like, I would almost rather him do that than what he was doing. Like, he was smiling and like, they were just trying to point out the concessions that he's making and like how unhappy he's going to be for the rest of his life. Yeah. And he's just sitting there like, no, yeah, you guys, you know, I see where you guys are coming from. It's like, dude, just fucking make a decision. And I know he does eventually, but like watching him do that and be in a good place, talking about the potential future of his marriage and the rest of his life of being miserable. And he was happy about it. The whole thing, it just looked really weird. And it makes me think that like he's kind of already made his decision and he's kind of going through the motions at this point. But like, ultimately, I think he knows where this wedding's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that maybe part of his agreeableness or willing to be agreeable was maybe this
agreeability.
Is like, thank you. Agreeability. Maybe part of that is, maybe he's feeling like, oh, I'm not crazy. These guys see it too. Like, maybe it's kind of vindication a little bit. I see what you're saying. Like, if you're still getting married, like, you should probably be like, no, we're going to work through it more like Lindsay's doing. But I think that could be part of it, where he's like, oh, you guys see it too. Great. I'm not out here on an island. So we know how it ends, obviously. But I love the next scene because it's just boys building a ramp. Yep. And it brought me back to like summer in Pocono. You just find like a shitty piece of plywood with a log and launch a bike off a dock. So even in your 40s, boys can be boys. So that's encouraging for, you know, the next 10 years of our lives. We're never too old to build ramps, dude.
Yeah.
Do you want to build a ramp?
We should build a ramp. We should definitely build a ramp. And I will yeet myself off of that ramp as soon as possible. It is funny because I'm just looking at our video right now. And like, I just look so short.
Well, because you're slouched down at the bottom of your screen. You're like a floating head.
I know. I have zero energy to sit up straight, so nobody yell about my posture. But what if I was really this short in life, you know?
I would still be your friend.
Would you? All right. I wasn't going to ask you that, but, you know, all right. That's nice to know.
Shooter mini gooter.
would you pat me on my head when I walked by and stuff? Yeah, probably.
I'd just put you in my pocket and carry you around, pal.
I got something in my pocket for you.
a little South Park shout out there. But we move on to Paige and Craig doing a saran wrap prank, which I got to say, that was the worst execution of the saran wrap prank I think I've ever seen. Even when Kyle goes through it, like Sierra pushed him through it. Like
Force him through it. Yeah, they had to make sure that it at least happened. Somebody went into it. But Kyle would have seen it. And as drunk as Kyle was, he still would have seen it. That means it's not that good of a prank. You can't do it like you're supposed to do it. I don't know how to do it, but whatever they were doing was wrong.
Well, first of all, it looked like they used cling wrap, which is not see-through. It's more translucent. You need something that's completely see-through. It was not put up the right way. It was done willy-nilly. You know, they should have stuck to one door and really committed. So a little bummed out there, not going to lie. But regardless, we get Amanda talking to West and they're talking about Sierra, and I appreciate that West is being honest with this whole thing. He's like, you know, yeah, we're moving super slow. It's a lot slower than I'm used to, but this is a unique experience because they're somewhat living together, even though they're not dating, and they are moving extra slow. And we know why. It's because Sierra doesn't want to be made out to be a fool again. So I respect that. And I respect that he's okay with that. But I also respect that at least he's honest, where he's like, you know, I didn't come here to be celibate the whole summer, but like, I'm cool with going through this. I just, it's more like the timeline's different than I'm used to. So at least he's not just like blatantly like, yeah, this is great. I'm just going through this. Like, he's being honest about his feelings, but also accepting Sierra's feelings. So once again, Wes, just a solid dude.
Just a solid dude. And I have no doubt in my mind that they might have the best communication out of any couple in the house.
And they're not even dating. How about that?
We
get a quick little cut to Amanda, and she's like, well, don't listen to anything Kyle says. He's trash. And it kind of sums up their whole summer. And I think, did you watch What Happens Live the other night with them on it?
No.
Amanda was on it, and Kyle was in the audience. And she even says, like, everything.
Oh, I saw the clip. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just annoying her that summer. And like, I don't fault her. Like, I get it, especially with him. I'm sure you hit like the end of your rope. So understandable there. But this part, this next scene was tough. because we had Carl and Kyle, and you know, they're sitting in the pace car. It's like this big moment. They're revving the engine. He's like, look, man, wedding's coming up. I got a serious conversation I got to have with you. You're important to me. I want you to be my flower boy.
Yeah, it's one thing to demote him, and I know the producers immediately asked, like, this feels like a demotion. What's going on here? It's one thing to do that, but to lead him down the path of, I'm about to ask you to be my best man, because that's how that speech goes, yeah. And it ends with flower boy, or, like, at the very least, make him the officiant. You know, you don't want to put him in the groomsman. Fine. I guess maybe Lindsay would probably be more pissed off if he was the officiant, because she has to look at him. Whatever. Don't lead him down that path of, I'm going to get a really serious question here, and then it's flower boy. Like, it's already a bad look, and now you're making it even worse, because it's almost like you're teasing him about the fact that he got demoted to flower boy because Lindsay doesn't want him in the wedding.
Yep, exactly. And he tries to, like, soften the blow with, like, yeah, but you, Andrea, and Luke. I'm like, that's way worse. You've known Andrea for, like, 3 years. Kyle has been your business partner, best friend, ups and downs. You officiated his wedding, best man, like...
Yeah.
What are we doing here? And I think everybody watching assumed where this came from, but we very quickly get confirmation from Carl in the confessional. And he's like, you know, because of what happened last summer, Lindsay doesn't want him in the wedding. But that doesn't make sense to me a lot, because if you watch Lindsay and Kyle throughout this summer, like, they're fine.
Yeah, so, but that's Lindsay, though. Lindsay can put on that face where, as long as nothing is actually, like, palpable in that moment, she's going to act like she's your friend. She's fake. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what she is. So she's doing that the whole time. And I have no doubt in my mind, I know that, like, towards the end of the episode when it gets brought back up, Carl says, you know, she didn't say the words, I don't want Kyle in the wedding. I think she probably did. Like, let's be honest. There's no way. I know that, like, you know, Carl's known Lindsay for so long, so, like, he can kind of read what she's getting into, and, like, he understands her emotions and what she wants and what she doesn't want to an extent. When it comes to Kyle, she 1,000% said, I don't want him in my wedding. Pick a different one.
Yeah. Pick anybody else, not him.
Pick anybody else. I don't care.
You know what? We're going to make him the flower girl or flower boy. Sorry. But to Kyle's credit, at the very least, he's like, you know what? Whatever I got to do to be there. He doesn't make a big deal out of it. He keeps Carl comfortable.
He's
like,
definitely hurt as hell, but yeah, at least in Carl's face, he's not making a big deal about it.
Yes, exactly. Like, he's able to compartmentalize for the time being, but yeah, he's very visibly upset, and understandably so. I would be too, but that'd be like if you asked me to be your flower boy. I'd be like, fuck you. I would do it.
I might do that. I don't know why you would.
Well, now it would be funny. Now I wouldn't be mad about it given this, but only because of this.
Yeah. Okay. All right, cool.
All right. So if that is
flower boy, it is.
Wait, no. Did you see that wedding where the best man chipped the ring to the groom?
No.
They had it set up on a tee, and he did a, like, 20-yard chip and landed right in the groom's hand with the ring.
Wow.
Should we try that? You know, I'm going to slice it and hit somebody in the crowd, but
yeah, probably that. No,
I don't know why we're talking about this when you're getting married, but
I'm just going to get married on your birthday.
Oh, yeah, that would be cute.
Full circle.
Wow. Thanks, man. What a nice guy. But
and you're the flower boy.
All right, fine. But we get to the after party, I guess. Like, everyone's kind of winding down, and you get a quick scene with Jesse. And look, Jesse's very open about his journey and where he's at in life right now. He's trying to figure out the next steps. He wants to be locked into one woman, one relationship. He's working on it. He's not there yet. And we get a quick cut to him on a FaceTime drug. He's like, show me a nip. It just was a really...
It's just funny. It's just stupid, but it's funny.
Just, like, you know, drunk single Jesse in bed, like, drunk FaceTiming. And I would like to think, because you get a quick cut to him, like, passed out with his phone here, that he passed out mid FaceTime. He's like talking to him. He's like, yeah, let me see the...
1,000%. Yeah, that's exactly how that went.
But I did also appreciate, we got one of my favorite movie quotes that's not used enough is, I'm tired, Grandpa, from Holes.
Yeah. What do you mean? Wait, what do you mean it's not used enough? There's, like...
It needs to be used way more.
There are thousands of TikToks that go with that.
I know, but I feel like it's kind of simmered down.
It's
not enough. It's such a good one. Just that scene, it plays in my brain every time. Like, you can see the guy because the makeup on the old man is so bad. Well, that's too damn bad. I need more. Stanley Yelnats. R.I.P.
Who?
I guess not.
What Shia happened LaBeouf's to Stanley? Still alive?
No,
what
not Shia about? LaBeouf. I'm just talking about Stanley Yelnats, the character. You think he's still kicking?
I think he probably died. Nah, he probably died.
You think he died on the mountain, and then the rest was like a Jacob's Ladder scenario where it's all a dream?
Yeah, yeah.
Him I think and Hector died eating onions on the mountain.
He definitely got stung by a spotted, or got bitten by a spotted lizard.
Yellow spotted lizard.
Yep.
Man, I might have to revisit that. Digging up a hole, digging up.
Welcome to Holes Talk with the boys. Well, I don't like that actually. Never mind.
No. That's a different podcast. Yeah. Maybe down the road. But Amanda calls Kyle and she's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm eating cherries and listening to Hans Zimmer." I was like, "That sounds like a vibe." I'm not gonna
that
lie.
That sounds awesome. That is honestly, I would love to end most of my nights like that. That sounds absolutely perfect.
Give me some cherries and the Dune soundtrack. I'm in.
yeah. Dune soundtrack, Gladiator soundtrack, you know, whatever you got to do.
Speaking of Gladiator, don't worry. I'll send you pictures inside the Coliseum, pal. Right where started. Right where I'll find the spot where Maximus pretty much flipped off. What's his nuts?
Maximus. Yeah, you said Maximus.
I know it's not Maximus. I know it's Maximus Aurelius.
No.
That's the Caesar.
That's the emperor. Yeah. No. Yeah. Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Damn. Man, I need to rewatch. Maybe I'll watch that on the plane ride over. Do my history because it's all a true story, right?
Oh my god, dude. If you're taking a plane ride to Italy and you're watching Gladiator, that might actually make a list of somebody else's being like, "Look at this douchebag on my flight that you do," where you're like, "Shut your goddamn blinds and let me get back to Gladiator so that I can go watch it before I get to Italy."
Was that worse than me potentially going, "It's a me, Estelio"?
No, please do that, actually. I need videos of you doing that.
I think I'll get someone will probably punch me if I do that, and it's probably warranted. I don't think
you deserve that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would deserve that, but
don't get arrested in Italy. I don't want to deal with that.
No, I don't want to do that. I'm going for R&R. I'm going to come back refreshed, a new guy, relaxed, rested for the first time in 5 years. Like, it's all exciting. It's very exciting stuff that's happening, but we get Craig and Paige next morning, and they're talking about, you know, this summer's been easier, and Lindsay was great yesterday, and she did. She had a good day. Carl and her had a good day. They even ended the night smiling and laughing, which was nice to see a little change up. And this is kind of where you see, though, there seems to be a disconnect in how much info they're getting about what's going on, I guess, because obviously there's two sides to every story, and the third side's the truth. So, yeah, they're going to get different things trying to figure out where they stand, but at the very least, it's interesting to me that of all summers to like make amends with Lindsay, this is what they make amends over. And lo and behold, I think in about 2 minutes after this, they're like, "Oh, wait, maybe it's not as good as we think it is because this is a huge fuck you to Kyle." But that's the next conversation. Kyle and Amanda are talking and about the flower boy, and Kyle's just like, "You know, I'm just going to accept it for what it is and move forward." But again, clearly upset about it, but regardless, that actually we're waiting because that's not when they talk about it full blown. The next scene's the house hunting in the burbs, and they claim it was Jersey. It was found out that it was like in Northampton, which it was so weird to me when I saw that post. Did you see that on Instagram?
Which one?
That somebody, because they said, you know, Kyle's talking to the guy about the house. He's like, "Yeah, I never picture myself living in Jersey." And
they weren't in Jersey?
No, somebody went online and found the house and it's in the Hamptons. But
why the fuck would they do that? That's so stupid.
It's stupid, but at the same time,
is that how New York works? They're just like, it's outside of the city, so it's basically Jersey.
That would make sense to me, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. But my whole point was like, there's this whole thread about like, "Oh, they lied." It's like, is it that big of a deal? Like, who cares where the house is? Like, the big thing for me was at least Kyle was entertaining the idea somewhat, like trying to find a compromise with Amanda. Because look, yes, Amanda has been very quick to get upset within the summer, but I don't fault her for that, given how irritating Kyle can be. And like we talked about, I think last week, it's like the compromise that needs to be made is pretty clear, and it's on Kyle's side. Like, you know what she wants. You have to find a way to bridge this gap, and that's with you taking a step. Like, she has made concessions. Since we're talking about concessions today, like, she has, and she's stuck in that apartment for 5 years. She's openly talking about hating the apartment. This is on you now to make a decision and move this forward. So at least he's looking at houses. But do you think that was a genuine house hunt, or do you think that that was just like, oh, I'm going to just, you know, throw her a bone here and go see a house in the Hamptons?
Yeah, I think he was just appeasing Amanda, honestly, because he did not, it just didn't look like he wanted to be there. And yeah, we've seen them have this conversation multiple times now. He's never really open to the idea. It's always, well, you know, if Amanda wants to do it, I need to at least entertain it. I need to at least appease her and say this. But I could see him dragging his feet and being like, oh, you know, that house isn't that great. The drive to New York isn't that great. Like, whatever the hell excuse he's going to come up with, because he just doesn't want to do it. And you can tell it. It's written all over his face as he's walking around. But look, the place was pretty cool. I mean, the house was fine. I liked the land. I liked the pool outside. That's fun. But he just didn't seem like, like, if you or I were going and we were looking at a house somewhere and we saw that, we'd be like, oh, this is really nice. Look at this kitchen. Yeah. This kitchen's great. Look at that pool. The pool's incredible.
You and I are house hunting now?
You and I are house hunting. Yeah, 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 a little bra pad. Yeah, so, like, if we were looking, and even if we weren't, like, really into it, we'd still go into it like, okay, I'm going to try my best at this. You didn't see any of that from Kyle. Kyle's just not interested. He's just there because Amanda's going to do it. And it was really hard to watch Amanda being like excited about certain things. And you can tell when the realtor's bringing them through the house and showing them the kitchen, Amanda's excited. Kyle doesn't really say anything. He's got negative reviews immediately. It's like, okay, I know what you're doing here. You're just going to try to put this on pause as long as possible and just see what happens.
Yeah. And in that Watch What Happens Live, they still haven't settled on a house. So I also thought it was interesting. It's like you want a quote unquote investment property or something outside of the city that you can bop around to. This house was like a $1.3 million house in the Hamptons, which means all said and done, when you go to war and the bidding war in the current market, they're probably looking closer to two.
Yeah.
So your like extended property outside of a probably $10,000 a month apartment in the city is a $1 million Hampton house, $2 million Hampton house. Like, that's a little extravagant.
It's a possibility that it's just also for the show. Like, maybe, you know, maybe they are actually looking in Jersey, and this was just the quickest that they could get something to throw on the TV show and say, like, all right, you know, it's in the Hamptons. We've already got our crew out there, because I assume some of the crew comes into New York and they look at them there, whatever. But the majority of the crew probably stays out in the Hamptons and stays at that house. So, yeah, we'll take you to some spot. We know the realtor because they probably book through that realtor to get the house in the Hamptons for every year for summer house. So they probably go through that guy. That guy's showing them a house that's probably 10 minutes away from their Hamptons house and summer house, and they just wanted to put something on camera. The whole thing just seemed a little fake, yeah.
It did seem a little fishy, it did, but...
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now look, if you're sitting down watching a little reality TV, you might watch some of the behaviors on television and wonder to yourself, am I doing some of this? Do I need a little bit of help in my life? Therapy is a good way to do that. You can address a lot of the things that you see on TV that you might see in yourself. Steele and I do that all the time. I know I've benefited from therapy. How about you?
I love therapy. Therapy has changed my life.
Yeah, therapy's the best, honestly. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I can tell you right now, I've used BetterHelp in the past. You can switch your therapist, and it's so easy to do. It's all online. Whatever you're feeling, if you're not jiving with your therapist, whatever they're doing, maybe it's just not working for you, go back on, switch therapists, and give it another try, because honestly, that's the best way to do it. You can learn to make more time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BravBros today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BravBros.
My bad.
We're going to talk to you guys about our friends over at Bubbly and their new product, Bubbly Burst.
The greatest drink ever invented, and that is not hyperbole. I am not a flavored drink guy. You know this about me.
Oh, yeah.
I love, 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 love Bubbly Burst.
It's incredible. And if you're familiar with Bubbly, it's a little bit different. It's a different take on sparkling water. It's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, and it's got refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles.
Not to mention it's got six different fun flavors, and they taste incredible. I've tasted each one of these. They sent us some of these a couple of weeks ago. I have drank all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed every single flavor. My favorite is cherry lemonade.
Yeah, I'm a peach mango guy.
Oh, I like those too. Those are really, really good. They're so refreshing. Like, when the bubbles hit, the flavor hits, it's like, ooh, like, I drink them in the morning.
Okay.
I usually drink coffee and then I chug water. Now I have to start my day with a Bubbly Burst.
I love that. I'll sit down, have a little dinner, then grab a Bubbly Burst, sit down and watch my reality TV. it's the best way to do it. The pair is great.
It's a great way to end the evening. I can't like sing its praises enough, and people are going to think this is just an ad. I genuinely love, love, love this product.
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore. And honestly, it's bursting with fruit flavor. There's no added sugar, but there's all smiles.
So do yourselves a favor and get out there and try some Bubbly Burst. You'll thank us later.
I'm going to talk to you guys really quick about Miracle Made. And I don't know about you guys, Steele, I don't know about you, buddy, but I'm a hot sleeper. I'll wake up in the middle of the night. I'll be a little hot, a little uncomfortable, a little sweaty. I'll pop up out of bed, not sure where I am, try to crack a window, just do anything possible to put myself in the right environment to get a good night's sleep. Miracle Made sent us a set of sheets, and these bad boys are comfortable. They make my temperature throughout the night feel great. I'm never too hot, never too cold, and they have self-cooling properties for a better quality sleep. I had no idea that the temperature that you're at night really impacts your sleep quality, and it makes a lot of sense. Just never really thought about it. Who knew? You guys can also try Miracle. Go to trymiracle.com/bravbros to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our code bravbros at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/bravbros and use the code bravbros to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40%. Again, that's trymiracle.com/bravbros to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
We'll see what happens, I guess. But we get a little date, D-A-Y-T-E. Can that be a thing?
Just a date. It could probably be.
No, it's a date.
No.
Yeah, no, it's a thing now. And we get West and Sierra. What age do you think you started to groan when sitting down? I do it. I also groan when standing up. I know my timeline's a little expedited because of baseball, but
yeah, but your groan is like is legit. You're actually in pain most of the time. I'm not, and I do groan when I get up and when I sit down. So I'm gonna say probably like 26 or 27. Like once you get over 25.
Yeah. Oh, 25. Yeah.
Again, I'm not in any sort of pain. I'm just groaning, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it hurts when I stand up and sit down. So that's mine's genuine, and it started probably about 23. But yeah. Thanks to Advil and cortisone, I played for 5 more years. Thanks.
Good job, baseball.
Baseball doctors really did me a solid.
I mean, today I'm groaning no matter what I'm doing, so it doesn't really.
That's because your insides are dying. But yeah. We find out Sierra is signing with a modeling agency, which is awesome. And she's only had her portfolio put together for a few weeks. So she got picked up quick. She's really excited about that. We get a check-in with Danielle. She's back. She was away for the week before. And turns out that she got banged out by a drummer.
You got to do better than that. I thought you'd have something here.
That's what nothing? They said.
I know, that's but you got, you got said. What do you have? You got to have a joke for this.
She got a Hawaii 5-0'd. That's like one of the most famous drum rolls ever. Is that better?
That's way better. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take that.
I needed that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. There you go. And I'm only saying that because they made the joke first. All right.
I
made a better joke. I rise to the occasion. That's what I do, baby. But Jesse, and there is bro code. West questions, is bro code a thing? I don't know. There is bro code. I thought this was kind of fucked up, but at the same time, to West's point, like it does push the narrative a little bit to force this conversation. And Jesse's like, well, they're not having sex. So, and Sierra says what she's been saying the whole time. She's like, I will have sex when I'm ready to, which is totally respectful, totally understandable. West is still like, yeah, of course. And he's also like, but you know, time's moving pretty slowly right now. Everybody laughs. It's all good. It's no big deal. West wasn't upset.
No. And as West said, you know, there is no bro code with Jesse. Like Jesse's just, and we saw that. I mean, it's sort of the same thing as him going into their room and just laying in bed with them. Like he sees himself as part of this relationship at this point where he's like, yeah, I'm here every step of the way. And I know that you guys haven't had sex yet. And I will be the first to know when you do have sex. And you might not tell me, but I'll know. I'll feel it. So I feel like he feels like he's part of it. And he's just saying shit. And he feels super comfortable with them. But I think that's, honestly, that's a nod to Sierra and West, because they're both pretty open and they're both very go with the flow. And they're both not really shy about what they're doing and what's going on. Everybody in the house knows what's going on with them. They're watching it and they're very happy about it because they are very cute. And we like to watch that. So we're rooting for them. I hope that it happens. And I hope that Jesse's the first to find out.
Yeah, he probably will be. But it would be a funny twist of fate if Sierra's the one that tells him. That's what I want to happen. If they do end up hooking up before the summer's over, I want Sierra to be the one to be like, hey, Jesse, guess what? Finger guns.
And then gives him a high five.
Yeah. Then Jesse gives a high five. That would be great. But moving on from there, we get Carl at State and Liberty, which I don't know if you've ever shopped at State and Liberty, but
no.
It is one of my favorite stores. I was like weirdly excited when they got there. They make athletic fitting nice clothes, like button down and stuff that will actually fit the shape of your body. And they're fantastic. So free plug for State and Liberty, right?
Shout
there.
Out State and Liberty.
They, you don't understand. They make the best shirts. They really make the best shirts. But regardless, we're not sponsored by them. I hopefully this reaches somebody that works for them and we want a sponsorship, because I'll wear anything you send me. But regardless, we get Andrea back in the fold, which I love seeing Andrea. I'm still bummed that he's off the show. I think he adds such a fun dynamic to it, especially now that he's – what's up?
But we do not see Luke, which is funny.
Yeah, I know. Why do you think – do you think that was a show thing?
I don't know. The funny thing was because Carl was kind of going through it, and he's like, yeah, you know, this is Dan. Like, he comes from Cincinnati. Like, he just kind of goes through the whole crew, and he says, and you know, Luke's from Minneapolis. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, did I miss Luke? Like, I feel like that would have been an announcement when he walked in, or he would have gotten a name tag or something. And I kept going back because I thought that I was missing something. And I'm looking at all these guys. I'm like, Luke's not there. Why are we talking about Luke? Like, he's going to be in the wedding, but I don't know what's his status on Bravo right now. Is he not allowed on the show at all?
I remember last year he was at one of the parties and they just panned the camera and you saw him. That was it. They didn't acknowledge that he was there.
I think his relationship with Bravo is just dead.
Do you think? Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I have no idea. Because I think he's living in New York now too. So it's not like he couldn't make it because he was out in Minneapolis. Like, I think he may have been there and they just didn't show him. Yeah.
Who's got more info on that? Anybody out there? We'd love to know. But
we can just ask Carl.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah, I'm curious about that. But this is where they get into the Flower Boy conversation, Andrea and Kyle. And this is a much more honest take as to how he's feeling about it. He's like, you know, yeah, I'm pretty upset. And no offense to you, but like, I've been with this guy through thick and thin over the past 10 years. Like, it's been a tough go, but we've made it through. We work together, blah, blah, blah. Groomsman, best man, all that stuff. And Andrea understands and he doesn't take offense to it. Thank God, because that would be weird. But this line made me sad. He's like, I'm just embracing the new normal because I'm just not an important piece of his life anymore. And that like genuinely broke my heart for Kyle, because they've been through so much and they have had these up and downs. Last year specifically was so tumultuous and like rough for them, but they got through it. And that was all business related. And especially knowing that later in this episode, Kyle has figured out a way to potentially bring Carl back into the fold at Loverboy in a much more comfortable way. Knowing that he still has Kyle's best interest at heart and knowing Carl wanted him to be a groomsman or his best man or whatever, and that got negated because of Lindsay, like, this scene kind of sucked to watch. I felt bad for Kyle. Can you hear the TV?
Yes.
Hey, Dev. Can you turn that down, please?
Sorry. That is the first that I've heard that the whole time.
That's good. All right, good. You're good. But this was a fun scene because we get Paige and Jesse driving up. And that was the funny thing about when Jesse was being flirty in the beginning, is I figured that there would be no issues coming from this because Craig is Craig, Paige is Paige, and they're both, they can handle their shit separately, and at the same time, like, they don't let little shit rattle them. So to see this full circle moment where now everybody's cool, so now Paige and Jesse are gonna get to know each other better and drive up together. And we hear more about Jesse's dating life. He hung out with a chick and she was on the cusp of the roster. She was about to get the boot. And he's like, you know, I wanted to give her one more chance. She's just so sweet. Oh, cool. Are we going to see her? Oh, for sure. No, definitely not. Absolutely not. She got
for
cut
sure.
After that night.
No. Yeah, she got cut after that night. But and I love and like I, that's what I want from Jesse, because Jesse can add that little bit of dynamic into the house, because he's the only single one there. So if he's talking about his roster, I mean, how many times do we see actually on Martha's Vineyard? We talked about rosters with the girls there. So let's get Jesse out there talking about some rosters and talking about what he's doing in his dating life. I don't know how the hell he does it. He goes on like 4 dates a week and four different girls. 2.5. Well, he did 2.5 that week. But before he had said, sometimes I'll go on like 4 dates in a week. How the hell does he do that?
But we're getting the Italian dinner. How fitting, by the way. They're setting up a beautiful Italian dinner. And where am I going today? That's not rhetorical.
Where?
Italy.
To get your iPad back?
Hopefully. That's the goal. We're going early so I can see if I can get my iPad back before I get on the plane. But I'm sure
that won't be a problem.
No, there will be no issues there. They'll be totally agreeable. They're not going to cause a commotion. It's going to be fine, because that's how everything's been going recently. It's going to be fine. We get a conversation with everybody, and they're sitting down. It's Carl, Paige,
Lindsay.
Jesse. Was Lindsay sitting there?
Yeah, she was there.
She was there. Okay. And they're talking about the Flower Boy situation, and they were all under the impression, obviously, that Carl was going to be a bigger part of this wedding. That Kyle was going to be a bigger part of this wedding. And upon hearing the Flower Boy thing, you can tell Paige is just like literally biting her tongue. She's like, oh, my God. And this is the moment where I think you see the shift, because now she's like, wow, that's insane. Like, you want this man to walk in front of you and throw flower petals down so you can walk across them. Like, when you paint that picture, it sounds intentional. Like, it would be better almost if he just wasn't in the wedding.
It was honestly, before Paige even pointed that out, my thought process was, okay, yeah, Carl's thinking he doesn't want Kyle in the wedding because he would piss Lindsay off. Fine, whatever. But he still wants him to do something. And he's like, let me get him involved. It could be funny if I just have a couple of guys walk down and do the flower petal thing. And I'm like, okay, weird. Obviously kind of a dick to your friend who's been with you the whole time and you officiate his wedding. And then when Paige paints that, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, Lindsay's actively involved in this. This isn't just like a throwaway joke that Carl's making. And he's like, yeah, it's kind of fun to get them involved that way. Whatever. This is Lindsay saying, okay, why don't we just have them be flower boys? And we'll do like Andrea and Luke can do it too. But Kyle's going to have to do that. And I'm going to walk down the aisle after him and step on the flower petals that he throws down. Like, then you paint that picture. All of a sudden, Lindsay's fully involved in all of this. And it gets really dirty.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if Paige hadn't pointed it out, I don't think I would have picked up on it, honestly. But it does paint a much different scenario. And Paige is like, I would have slapped him in the face. I mean, like, I'm not going. Have a great wedding. Like, it is pretty disrespectful given everything in their history and all that. But Danielle arrives to the house. Sierra arrives to the house. West is out this weekend. So we have a West free weekend because he's got a wedding. And we're just, again, finding out more and more. She's like, oh, I'm going to miss him and this and that. Like, they seem to be moving forward. I'm very curious where they stand today. He was a little cryptic when we interviewed him. He said they're still working things out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's like they don't want to spill the beans about what happens over the season, or maybe there's a big reunion moment. So we didn't get a whole lot. I hope that they're still figuring things out, because
he proposes to her at the reunion.
Oh my God, that would be wait, whoa.
He gives her a promise ring.
What's a ring on a string? Yeah.
Ring on a string,
baby. But that's a VPR throwback. Thanks, Schwartz. But Andrea gets back to the house. Amanda and Paige are talking, and Amanda's again, she's frustrated with Kyle. Kyle came home late last night, like 4 a.m.
Was it after Carl's thing?
That's the thing. So I get it. Like, she's frustrated because he came home late, and this is definitely not... I do believe he probably doesn't do it as much as he used to, but he definitely still does it. So I get the frustration. This one time, it's like, okay, but he was with Carl. It was the suit fitting. It was like a big night. The boys were in town. Like, this is the one time where it's like, I don't know if he deserves to catch shit for this one. Unless he had gone out that week, like one other time. If like Tuesday night, he was out till 4 a.m. and then Thursday night again, he was out till 4 a.m. Fine. But if it was a one time this week, I don't know. Like, it's the boys.
Yeah. I'm also a little frustrated that we didn't get footage of
the
that?
The boys'
like,
night, why, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I always want to see a boys' night.
Especially because it sounded like a banger. Those are the best ones. He's like, you know, it just kind of came out of nowhere. People started showing up. I'm like, man, those are the best parties.
Yep.
We got to see that. But again, they start talking about the flower boy thing and point out that it's even more insulting that it's with Andrea and Luke, because that tells Kyle, this is the value that you see in my friendship. It's similar to that of these guys who really don't have that much of a real relationship. Like, Luke obviously has known Carl for a longer time. Andrea and Carl are close, but it's not the same as Kyle's relationship with them. So that really, it's as you start to put the pieces together throughout this episode and listen to everybody talk about it, you really understand just how insulting it is to ask him to be the flower boy. But the only thing that can make it even worse is if there was a really touching scene in which Kyle had been trying to figure out a way to bring Carl back in and, you know, was starting to do a non-alcoholic lover boy and finally got the can printed and wanted Carl to be the first one to see it and clearly still has Carl's like best intention at heart. That would make it a lot worse. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, it is. And I have mixed feelings about this because obviously we went through that last year where Carl didn't feel like his role in Loverboy made a lot of sense. And it was really hard for him to do that given his sobriety. And obviously that makes a lot of sense. But I do think that there was a huge component of Carl and Kyle's friendship was strained heavily, not just because Carl was out there peddling alcohol when he's sober, but also because they were working together and it was a really weird dynamic. Yeah. And then you throw the Lindsay of it all in there, and you know Lindsay's shit-talking Kyle the entire time behind closed doors. Lindsay should be excited that Carl is potentially embarking on this because it gets him the fuck out of the house and it gets him a job, but she won't be because she needs to pick and choose the little things that Carl's going to do, and she's going to shut down the dumb ideas that he has. I think that this is Kyle missing the mark a little bit, just being yeah, I know, you know, we talked about this. I'd love to have you come back in and do this. It's like, I don't think you do that. It's less than a year removed from him leaving Loverboy because it was straining your friendship so much. I think Kyle completely missed all of that and thought, well, now it's now non-alcoholic, so you can be the face of this and you can go out and peddle this. It's like, it's kind of the same job and you guys are going to be working together again. Do you really want to be put back in that position where you're friends, but he's your boss now? Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think Kyle completely missed all of that. So Kyle getting a little butthurt that Carl's like, I'm going to take a little bit, you know, think about it, I'll let you know. Him being like, oh, he should say it right away that he wants to be involved. You got to give him time to work through it. And maybe, look, I think Carl now is doing all of the lover boy stuff or non-alcoholic stuff. And obviously Lindsay's gone, so that could be part of it. But you do have to give him some time to think about it. You don't want to just force it and then be like, oh, what's the problem? It's not alcohol.
Oh, interesting. That's an interesting take. I agree with you in some parts of that, like where you're right, it wasn't just the alcohol component, right? There was a lot more to it than that in the friendship part. So yeah, that's a really good point. To me, the apprehension that Carl had in jumping back in was more so, how do I tell Lindsay? That's the vibe I got.
Okay, that could be true too, yeah.
But I mean, you make a good point. And I think Kyle did not think about that aspect of it. But I did appreciate that at least he's like, you can come back in like a part-time capacity, see how it feels. However, I think that ask from Kyle comes with the implication of like, yeah, you know, part-time quote unquote, but that's going to lead to something bigger. So I do see what you're saying. I think that, you know, there could be multiple sides to this thing, but regardless, we know where he's at now, man. He's running the NA part of Loverboy, or the face of it at least. So it all worked out, but they get to dinner and not a whole lot happens. They just are recapping the house hunt with Kyle and Amanda. And this just shows you where Amanda's at this summer. And again, you can't fault her for it, but like the dudes are at the end of the table talking, being annoying. And he just says, yo idiots, which is something that you would say. It's something that I would say. It's something that all of us would say to our guy friends that are like, just not shutting the fuck up. It's like, yo, dumbass, like, shut up. And she's like, Kyle, I said, don't have to be such an asshole. And I'm like, she doesn't like him this summer. Like, no. she's fed up and he can't blame her. Like there's not a lot of wiggle room there, but at the same time, watching them on Watch What Happens Live made me feel a lot better about them because they did work through this summer. At least they're still in the same spot as far as what's next. And look, at some point, something's got to give. We've been watching this same exact thing between the two of them for what, 3 summers now, where she's really been pushing the let's get out of the city thing.
Yeah, pretty much since they got married, she's been doing that. And that's funny because, like, the way that this show works, there is so many of those, like, types of storylines where there's just no movement at all. I mean, we have it with Southern Charm, too, with Craig and Paige, and we talk about them constantly. There's no movement. They're still doing what they're doing. And now we've got Kyle and Amanda. They've been trying to move out to the burbs. They've been trying to go to Jersey, whatever. They're thinking about having kids. They've been doing this for 3 years now. So at some point, I'm going to just not care until there's more information. And I know, like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot else going on. Like, this episode was fine. Obviously, we have the work through of the flower boy and everything. But the rest of it with Kyle and Amanda, it's like, again, we're not getting any new information. We're just watching them do the same thing and just stay stagnant. So, you know, give us a little bit more information and then maybe we'll be able to move forward with it. But until then, I don't need to see it every week when there's nothing else to talk about.
No, I agree with you there. And I think the difference is, like, the other lack of movement relationships, if you want to call them that, are not married. So I think that that's the aspect of it where it's like we need to keep checking in with them because it's not like they can just break up. There's a lot more that goes into it. So that's probably why we continue to check in. I just hope that we see at some point this summer, and I don't know if we are because we see them at the beach in like the upcoming scenes from next week or whatever, and Kyle's like yelling at Amanda about something, like saying like he lives a very lonely life with her or something shitty.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the Housewives, the Sister Wives, the Southern Charmers, and the Summer Housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
Again, and we've said it multiple times, the writing is pretty clear for me. Like, this moves forward. And Danielle points it out, like, are you willing to compromise, Kyle? Like, that's what it comes down to. Like, are you willing to compromise and make this move for your wife, for your relationship, for your future kids? You can run a business outside of New York City. That is possible. It's very possible. You don't have to be in the city to run Loverboy. You can have an office in the city. You can go back and forth from Jersey. People do that every day. So there's no Amanda problem for me. And the fed upness, I understand it. Like, this is a Kyle issue that he needs to shit or get off the pot. Like, you can't keep dragging her along, taking her to houses in the Hamptons, like, to quote unquote go house hunting, to keep her at bay for a little bit longer. Like, you gotta make a move, man. You're pushing 45. Like, you gotta fucking do something. And I think everybody watching is like, dude, you make the move now. You got to make the move. This is not an Amanda problem. This is a Kyle.
Ball's in your court, and it's going to get to the point where Amanda's going to have, honestly, it's similar to the conversation that we had with Carl earlier in the episode. At some point, Amanda's going to be harboring, if she's not already, a lot of resentment towards Kyle because of him not willing to do anything. Ball's in your court. We've seen Amanda talk about it a lot. This is what she wants to do. You guys have been married for a couple of years. Yeah, you're on a Bravo show that kind of focuses on you partying. You can figure it out. You figure everything else out. It's not that big of a deal. But now you have to make that decision or else Amanda's going to be like, fuck, like, what are we doing? Like, I don't want to be like, now you start playing the numbers game too. Like, what? You're not going to have kids till you're 45. Then you're what, 63 when your kid graduates high school? Like, do you really want to do that? No, probably not. So start figuring it out. And again, like, until we get more information or until we see Kyle start to budge, nothing's really going to change except for Amanda just getting more and more pissed off at him.
Yeah. And she might just get tired of it and she might bounce. And I think everybody would understand it. Like, it's not.
Absolutely.
It's frustrating for me when you hear Kyle talk about like the lack of communication and we're not a well-oiled machine. She's made it pretty clear, I think, what she needs. Your lack of ability to meet her in the middle is where the problem lies. Like, there's no big question mark as to what needs to happen next.
Yeah.
It's, are you willing to do that? That's the question mark.
Amanda knows damn well what needs to happen next. It's now Kyle needs to do it.
Right. Right. Will he be able to is the big question. We know he hasn't yet because on Watch What Happens Live, they hadn't yet. But I don't know. I think next summer is going to be very, very different, honestly. I know we've like had a repeat of what those two are doing the last couple of years. I think next year, if they're in the same boat, we're going to see a much different season and not in a happy way. So hopefully they're able to like move forward because I like there's something about those two.
Filming starts in like what, 3 months? So
Yeah, so we'll get
We saw them on Watch What Happens Live last week, and nothing's changed. So
that's a good
unless
point.
Something happens in the next 3 months, we're going to watch more of the same.
Yeah, there's something about those two where like you want them to work out. Like I love them together when they're good, so I hope they're able to figure it out. But time will tell, Schutz. Time will tell. But look, buddy, we don't have questions. We don't have anything extra. Make sure you get tickets to the live show May 3rd, DC Union Stage. Candace Dillard, Chris Bassett, Ryan Bailey coming out to join us. You go get some food, get a little seep, recover, drink some water, bud, and some bubbly burst while you're at it.
Oh, I just chugged a bubbly burst. Yeah, I'm I'm too deep.
Hell yeah,
million burst day.
Hell yeah, brother. All right. Oh yeah. Anybody that didn't know, Shooter celebrated million beers day yesterday. I don't know if we went over that, but
yeah.
Good job, bud. You made it.
It's a fast-growing holiday that everybody's on board with.
I can't wait to see where it takes off. We'll make sure it's next year. I'll be the chauffeur.
Yeah, that works.
All right. Brav bros are out of here.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's DANA, on your podcast app.